welcome to Killer Crawl Space. This is episode 43, and this is going to be the Rodan Massacre part 2. If you're in the group that I'm in, you know, you're going to notice this timeline, hopefully. If you're new to the group, then you can find it under their page. But I asked Tisha if I could share this on my podcast to help get their timeline out there, because skimming through it and stuff and reading it, you could tell they put a lot of time into it. And the contributors are Melissa, Tisha, and Linda. So, like I said, this is nothing new to the case. This is just, like I said, getting their timeline out there. But January 4th, 2016, Candy and Malachi Newsome are found shot to death in Minford, Ohio. February 24, 2016, Becky Allen slaps Chris Jr. after being involved in a road rage incident. March 21, 2016, Chris Sr. buys new home for Dana, $60,000, said to have paid down $30,000 and financed $30,000. March 22, 2016, a Facebook post is made by Dana showing the living room of her new home. It is believed that she moved into her new home on this date. Roughly early April 2016, Gary moves from Greenup, Kentucky to Pike County to stay with Chris Sr. And basically, family members stated that Gary had lived with Chris Sr. on and off over the past several years. He had just moved back in again a few weeks before the murders. Okay, April 6, 2016, Charles Etman and Caroline Tomlinson are found shot to death in their beds in Ellesmere. Children are left alive and no bullet casings are found. Okay, April 9th, 2016. Dana has a baby shower at her new home for Hannah. Rusty Mongold makes a Facebook post about Chris Jr. hitting him with his car. Well, got hit by a car because some pussy-ass bitch want to run their mouth, but when you try to fight them, they want to hit you with their car. It's cool. I'm going to break your fucking legs and watch you try to crawl away. Then I'm going to curb stomp your ass. And April 10th, 2016, altercation between the Rodans and a group of teenagers on Union Hill Road. April 12th, 2016, Rusty Mongold makes another Facebook post. God, I can't stop thinking about the kid that hit me with his car. Every time I see a silver Tiburon, I get pumped and ready to beat his skull in, but of course none of them are him, but I'm not worried. We'll get them all. Okay, roughly mid-April 2016, an alleged fight between Chris Sr. and Billy Wagner ends with Billy threatening to come back and finish them all. Nobody seems to know what the fight was about or what may have caused it. Okay, then roughly April 15th, 2016, Jake Wagner got Sophia for visitation. Hannah and Wagner shared custody of Sophia, who was supposed to be with her mom that fateful Friday evening, he said, but Wagner picked her up a day early than normal. I reckon we missed it by just hours. And then April 17th, Hannah gives birth to a baby girl, Kylie. A Facebook argument occurs between Hannah, Frankie, and Hannah over her decision to allow Corey Holdren to be the father figure to Kylie. Frankie believes that Charlie Gilley should have rights to Kylie since he is the supposed father. Wesley Gibson, cousin of the Rodan family and member of the Iron Horseman motorcycle gang, is involved in a riot at a bar in Aberdeen. And police allegedly that the Iron Horsemen are involved in a large-scale drug trafficking operation. April 20th, 2016, Becky Allen gets 2 years probation, 40 hours of community service, and must refrain from all contact with Chris Jr. and Dana. And then Billy Harper is reported missing. April 21st, 2016, 8 a.m., Dana arrives to work at Hillside Nursing Home an hour late per Hillside manager. Jake Rodan arrives back in town. Kendra Rodan, James Preston, and Hannah Rodan go fishing. And Kendra Rodan, Miranda Gilley, and Donald Stone all have a sudden change of plans to stay over at the homes of the victims. At 10:30 p.m., Brett Hatfield's Uncle Danny gives Frankie a jump. And then 10:30, Chelsea Robinson brings her son, Brett Lee, to spend the night with his father, Frankie. She visited for a while with someone she hadn't seen in a while. 11 p.m., Dana left Hillside Nursing Home after working in an unexpected double before heading home. 11:30, Corey Holdren leaves Hannah's house. April 22, 2016, midnight, Dana arrives home from her work. 12:53 a.m., Dana's last verifiable Facebook post is made. And 1 a.m., a text message from April Manley to Dana Roden. And 2 a.m., a text message from James Manley to Jake Wagner. And 4 a.m., Brett Hatfield goes to pick up Kenny Roden for work. He claims that he blew the horn and then drove off after Kenny did not come outside. And there is some dispute, as it says here, as to whether or not this happened due to the story that his mother stayed on Facebook and then a second post from his stepfather trying to clarify what his mother originally said. 7 a.m., Bobby Joe Manley arrives at the home of Chris Sr. with two friends to feed the dogs. Bobby Joe Manley calls 911 to report that she found her brother-in-law, Chris Sr., and Gary Roden dead. Claims it looks like someone beat the hell out of them. Before police arrived, Bobby Joe discovered the bodies of Frankie Roden and Hannah Gilley. Their six-month-old son, Ruger, was laying in bed unharmed between his parents covered in blood. Frankie's three-year-old son was asleep on the sofa. James Manley finds Dana, Chris Jr., and Hannah Roden dead in Dana's home. Hannah's newborn baby Kylie is left unharmed in the bed with her mother, and James flags down law enforcement to let them know what he found. At 8:21, Pike County Sheriff's Office requests assistance from the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigations. At 10:07, it was confirmed that seven victims were found dead in three different locations. A family gathers at Union Hill Church where they are told to arm themselves for protection. And then at 11:19 a.m., more than a dozen agents from the Ohio Attorney General's office are arriving at the scene of multiple homicide crime scenes on Union Hill Road in Pike County, which is about an hour and 40 minutes from Dayton. An AG spokesperson said the Ohio Bureau of the Criminal Investigations has agents from its Special Investigation Unit, Crime Scene Unit, and Cyber Crimes Unit, and the Criminal Intelligence Unit. At 11:30 a.m., it is unknown at this time if the gunman was among the seven bodies shot execution style. At this time, the victims are believed to be of the same family. 1:26 p.m., Donald Stone calls 911 to report Kenneth Roden was found dead. It's all that stuff that happens on the news. I just found my cousin with a gunshot wound. 4 p.m., I guess this is Dwayne and Reader, who are news conference revealing that victims may have been shot in their sleep and there is a shooter at large. Reader reveals that three young children, ages 4 days old, 6 months old, and 3 years old, were found unharmed at the crime scenes. 4:25, they now confirm that a total of 8 bodies have been found. At 5:43, all 8 names of the victims are released to the public. At 9 p.m., the victims' families have been notified, and they state in a news conference that more than 30 people have already been interviewed in connection to the investigation, with more pending, and work at the crime scenes will go on throughout the night. And they also, you know, warn those responsible that we're coming. Zaya Jones is pulled over in Chillicothe and detained at gunpoint during a traffic stop. He is taken into custody and questioned for hours while his home is being searched. Basically, why, as he had previously made Facebook threats. April 23rd, 2016, a warrant is issued for several members of the Iron Horsemen, including Wesley Gibson, a Roden family cousin, for a riot that broke out in a Bearden bar at the previous week. Not sure if I pronounced that right. But at 2 p.m., Jeff Ruby offers $25,000 reward for information to find the killers. At 2:53, law enforcement released 2 911 calls. And then on April 24, 2016, at 3:41 a.m., Pike County deputies wake 5 members of the Manley family and take them in for a second round of questioning. At 11 a.m., about 100 people attend a service at Union Hill Church, where speakers underline the importance of valuing the time people have and preparing themselves for the afterlife. At 4:45, 7 of the 8 autopsies have been completed at this time. And 5 p.m., Dwayne announces that 3 marijuana grow operations have been found at 3 of the 4 crime scenes. This was later corrected to 3 grow operations at two of the crime scenes. At this time, five search warrants have been issued. At 5:35 p.m., this was a pre-planned execution of eight individuals. And it was said that it was a sophisticated operation. Those who carried it out were trying to do everything they could to hinder the investigation and their prosecution. Five search warrants have been conducted, but the location of the fifth is unknown. Reeder and Dwayne both say that this investigation will be a lengthy process, and Reeder said that he's advised members of the family to arm themselves as precaution. April 26, 2016, coroner releases primarily autopsy reports stating that one victim was shot nine times, one was shot five times, and the victim's bodies are released to family. A 911 call comes in from a male Roden family member stating that he's fearing for his life while someone is chasing him. April 28, 2016, at 12 p.m., funeral services are held for Gary, who was shot in the head three times. According to his father, Gary is buried in the South Shore, Kentucky. Jeff Ruby withdraws $25,000 reward. With recent complex criminal development in the Pike County case, we are all withdrawing our reward and involvement, grieving and praying for family. And then Billy Harper's vehicle is found. April 29, 2016, Dwayne and Reeder meet with family at the Union Hill Church for an update. And then they hold a gathering for the victims. And on April 30, 2016, Hannah Gillies' funeral service is held in Otway, Ohio. In May 1st, 2016, two members of the Pike County Sheriff's Office removed video from Union Hill Church and turned it over to BCI Crime Lab. May 2nd, 2016, visitations for Chris Sr., Dana, Frankie, Hannah, Chris Jr., and Kenneth at Rogers Davis Funeral Home. May 3rd, 2016, funeral services for Chris, Dana, Frankie, Hannah, and Chris Jr., and Kenneth at Dry Run Church of Christ. During the funerals, investigators tow at least four vehicles from the crime scene. May 4th, 2016, Kenneth is buried in Piketon. May 6th, 2016, Dwayne tells the Inquirer that he believes the killers will be caught. May 12th, 2016, Leonard Manley says 100 to 150 vehicles are towed from crime scenes. And then two mobile homes and a camper are removed into a warehouse in Waverly. May 13, 2016, Dana's home is moved to the warehouse in Waverly. May 16, 2016, real properties are released back to the surviving family members. June 28, 2016, Bobby Jo Manley took a three-hour lie detector test, but she states that BCI did not disclose the results to her. July 2, 2016, Dwayne announces that officials have received 700 tips. July 22, 2016, a $10,000 reward is announced 10 weeks after it was authorized. July 26, 2016, Dwayne and Pike County Coroner Kelsler refused to release autopsy reports citing the ongoing investigation. July 29, 2016, Cincinnati Inquirer sues Pike County's Coroner's Office, arguing that the autopsy reports are public records. August 4, 2016, Reeder says in juvenile court that they are now looking for more than one killer, and he believes that the children and their caregivers remain in grave danger. And August 17, 2016, Dwayne announces that federal agencies have been involved, including the Department of Homeland Security. Dwayne believes that the killers had to be familiar with the properties. And August 26, 2016, a formal records request for all spending related to the investigation is sent to Dwayne. August 29, 2016, Jerry Rose dies in a car accident. He was the current or ex-boyfriend of Bobby Jo Manley. September 13, 2016, Reeder's office provides a spreadsheet of costs which did not include any overtime paid to his deputies. The last record was June 25th. And on September 23rd, 2016, Heavily basically edited autopsy reports are released. September 26, 2016, Jody Barr has a meeting with Reeder. Reeder provides the following records, but admitted it is not the total of all money spent on the investigation, but he does not provide any further documentation. Let's see, $69,130.79 in overtime pay for the Pike County deputies, $12,994 for vehicle and mobile home towing, $25,148.36 in rental fees, portable restroom, surveillance cameras, fuel, coolers, undercover truck, bed bug treatment for one of the crime scenes, $97,498 to two contractors to move the crime scenes and secure the Union Hill and Left Fork Road properties and evidence preservation. September 28, 2016, Jody Barr goes undercover and exposes the Pike County Sheriff's Office for leaving the warehouse that contains the crime scenes unguarded since at least August 14th. Criminal justice experts raise questions about the security of the warehouse in Waverly where the crime scenes are being stored. They will be virtually useless at this point. September 29, 2016, 4:30 a.m., Reeder is seen sitting in his patrol car guarding the warehouse where the crime scenes are stored. At 7:45 a.m., the access road beside the warehouse is now secured with a lock. 7:47 a.m., Reeder leaves the warehouse, the gates are left open, and there are no signs of law enforcement anywhere. And DeWayne responds to the request on October 4, 2016. Sorry, I forgot to include the date there. For the record sent in August, however, because of our office does not organize expense records by case, we are unable to identify all itemized expenditures and invoices related to the Pike County investigation. January 17, 2017, Billy Harper is confirmed dead after skeletal remains found in November come back and match. January 25th, 2017, Wes Gibson, cousin of the Rodham family, is arrested for home invasion and impersonating an officer to gain entry. January 27th, 2017, Josh Roden is arrested and charged with drug trafficking. January 30th, 2017, the evidence warehouse, which is also home to the Hassell Chemical Company, is raided. Undercover agents are seen gathering boxes of what appear to be evidence. Raider responds to a text from Jody Barr, not related to the Roden case. No further comments. January 31st, 2017, Raider makes a Facebook post explaining that the raid had nothing to do with this, with the case, and that my office was in receipt of a civil writ of possession for personal property against Hassell Chemical Processing, LLC. DeWayne announces on April 13, 2017 that they are making progress, and Reeder promises to the killers, "We will find you," but no updates are given to the public. On April 21, 2017, a warrant is issued to place a GPS tracking device on a red truck owned by James Manley. In Geneva, Roden brings the nation to tears with a heartbreaking plea for any information related to the brutal murder of her family. If there's someone out there that knows anything about what happened, would they please, please come forward and tell what happened? An administrator of the Real Roden Facebook groups tags Jake Wagner in a comment to let him know that the police are looking to talk to him. Jake responds with, "Read it. Again, not us people that did business with us. They have a phone number." April 28, 2017, the GPS device that was placed on James Manley's truck stopped operating. Early May 2017, photos of the Wagners from their recent trip to Alaska are posted on Facebook, and we are not sure if this was the trip that they claimed was a vacation or if they were already living in Alaska. May 12, 2017, a farm located in Pebbles that was owned by Jake Wagner until mid-March is searched by state and local law enforcement agents. A second Wagner family farm was also searched in Adams County. Search warrants were sealed and it is unclear what or if anything was seized. May 15, 2017, as law enforcement arrives to remove the GPS device, Leonard Manley tells them that James removed it last week when he found it. And Leonard Manley says James failed a polygraph test several weeks ago and he is tired of being harassed. May 16, 2017, at 11:40 a.m., law enforcement confirms that a trailer was taken from one of the multiple sites that were searched. And James Manley turns himself into the Ross County Jail in Chillicothe. May 17, 2017, James Manley appears in court for a hearing on evidence tampering and vandalism charges over allegations that he destroyed a GPS tracking device that was placed on his truck by BCI agents on April 21st, and the judge would set the bond at $80,000. May 22nd, 2017, charges against James Manley are dismissed for a grand jury. And at the end of May 2017, Angela Wagner makes a Facebook post. Okay, I've decided to tell you a couple things about me and my family. We did love our farm and the life we lived there. What has happened to us in the past few weeks has been devastating and will follow us for the rest of our lives. Hannah was a daughter to me. I loved her dearly. Her loss still hurts to this day, especially when I see her every day, my granddaughter. While they decide to search our farm, our household goods, and my mother-in-law's farm, I do not know. We did not do anything to hurt Hayden's family. We want justice just like everyone here. We have cooperated with LE from the beginning. There were no text messages between my son and JM. There were no custody battles between my son and Hannah, or any fights between my husband and Chris Sr. We were all there for Sophia. And I am sorry if I have sounded rude lately, but being judged and convicted by people we have never met and people who do not know us, it is real disturbing. If you really want to know what you guys are doing, your accusations now will hurt her later in life when she really understands what has happened. Please, no more questions. Let's try to find the real monsters who've done this. June 3rd, 2017. Angela Wagner makes a Facebook post to Kenna and Soldatona home, an apartment rental seeking a 3-bedroom home. June 19, 2017. Sorry, that was my phone. But Attorney General's office asked the public for information about George Billy Wagner III, Angela Wagner, George Wagner IV, and Edward Jake Wagner in connection with killings of 8 people. And investigators are interested in any interaction, conversations, dealings, transactions that the public may have had with the Wagner family. June 20, 2017, Brad Kunkley of Kenna, Alaska tells the Inquirer he was glad to finally see someone moving into the empty home right down the road last Friday. June 21st, 2017, Dwayne refused to label the Wagner as suspects or persons of interest, but stated that they are now a special focus, and I would say that we are focused on them a lot at this point, like a laser. On June 22nd, 2017, when a real Roden administrator questioned Jake Wagner about a photo of a man who looked like Billy Harper, his response was, "Not Billy Harper. Heard he was killed by LM family." August 25th, 2017, first time that family has confirmed that Kylie and Ruger have been released to family members. Not sure exactly when they were released, but this was the first accurate confirmation we got. November 2nd, 2017, Pike County officials moved the mobile homes from Waverly to a pole barn inside the Pike County Sheriff's Office impound lot. November 25th, 2017, Billy Harper's remains were found on November 25th in the Wayne National Forest in Aid Township by hunters. The skull found had a bullet hole through it. Additional bones were found along with a .22 caliber pistol. December 14, 2017, in a 4-3 decision, the Ohio Supreme Court ruled that the coroner's office was right in denying the full autopsy reports. December 23, 2017, the Ohio Supreme Court is asked to reconsider its decision in denying the release of the unedited autopsy reports. April 19, 2018, Pike County Prosecutor Rob Junk says the investigation remains focused on the family of four who moved to Alaska. In mid to late April 2018, the Wagner family moves from their rental home in Alaska. The new address is unknown at this time. Sorry for the few mistakes. It's getting late. I'm tired. But like I said, all these pieces in the timeline were confirmed one way or another. Like I said, if you want to look at the document files in the group, but I will post the group in the description on the episode. If you want to look it up on Facebook, like I said, it's a great bunch of people, and they're really down to earth and getting down to, you know, who actually done this. And hopefully, you know, one day justice will be solved for this family. But thank you for tuning in, and I will try to have part 3 out soon.